The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
I'm Instagramming every single mince pie I have this Christmas.
Are you?
So can we take a quick selfie together?
Yes, you
of
can.
Just us both eating sort mince pies.
Cheersing a mince
well,
pie.
Sort of, don't worry.
How's that? How's that going likes wise? How are people enjoying it?
15 for the last one. Mm. Hello, you're listening to My Mate Bought a Toaster. Welcome along to a brand new episode for a whole new week. Oh, look, there's no Samantha Baines. She's not here because she's at a dress rehearsal for Magic Mike. But it's okay, because I've got my very own Magic Mike, the one and only. I mean, you could be, Rick, you're such a handsome specimen. You could be a stripper in Magic Mike. Although Samantha was here, she'd say they're not strippers. They're male dancers or something.
But they are strippers.
They all get naked, yeah, they all get naked.
Surely
not that I've seen it, but apparently they all get naked.
I've seen both films.
I've not
seen the stage show. The second one, I went to the opening. This sounds like a lie and is not a lie. Mm-hmm. I went to the opening night, not like the premiere, but the opening night at a regular cinema, so yep. The Camden Odeon.
Okay.
It's a Friday night. I went with my wife and my best friend, and me and my best friend, who is a gentleman, were the only men in there, apart from one other guy. And the atmosphere was electric. It was great fun.
Yeah.
There's ladies just standing up and whooping and sort of, you know, doing a hot dang, like that kind of stuff. Like you sort of think, well, we're not American, but yeah, you carry on.
If you want a hot dang, sister.
But the, I don't want to exaggerate here, I would say 10 minutes in, the other guy gets up, comes over and whispers to Lenny, my friend who is at the in the aisle seat, whispers to him, Is this Terminator?
Please tell me, Lenny said. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Lenny's too nice. Lenny just said, no. And the guy just goes, shit. And then sort of jogs out and goes to find somebody he should be in. And it's really fun when you unpick that. Because, in fairness, at the start of all the Terminator films, there are big, stacked, naked men.
Well, it shows you how homoerotic those films are. There's a theme. 80s films have got a lot of homoeroticism in them. Top Gun.
Favourite homoerotic scene? I've got mine.
What, in Top Gun or in any film?
No, in any film from that kind of era that isn't supposed to be. And I think I will be able to trump whatever you've got.
It's gone. You do yours. What? It's got to be.
It's, so you know in Rocky 3.
Yeah.
And Creed, Apollo Creed, the original Creed, is training Rocky to fight Mr. T.
Yeah. Mr. T.
Mr. T. I obviously mean Clubber Lang. They race along the beach.
Yeah.
And every time Creed beats him, and then obviously at the end of the montage, eventually Rocky just sort of does a little chest dip and wins. And they're wearing incredibly short shorts, and they're two very muscular men. And they just start frolicking in the waves because it's in a montage, it's slow-mo. My young mind was blown.
Yeah, I'm sure
the opportunities.
I want to be in the movies because I want to frolic in the waves with other men. Rick Edwards, here you are. And the elephant in the room is we've both got a mince pie in our hands. They're vegan mince pies.
They are, yes, that's
brought
right.
In earlier on.
Yeah, they are you won't believe it's not butter or whatever it's called, mince pies.
Yeah. What's annoying is that because Sam isn't here, another reason it's annoying Sam's not here is we can't really take a... If Sam was talking, we could both go and eat. Do you know what I mean? So we've got to try and...
You need to time your bites carefully. Okay, do you want to go for your first bite?
But you've got things. You've got to talk if I'm going for. You go for your first bite, and I'll start talking.
Okay, fine. Yeah, I'm going in.
So, Rick Edwards, absolutely delighted to have you here.
What?
No, mate. What if you're taking the bite?
Oh, right.
Do you know what I mean? Because I can't edit around.
I can't. Okay. I'm sorry.
So, Rick Edwards, you are here on My Mate Bought a Toaster. Thank you so much for joining us. TV presenter, writer, a comedian as well. You did a bit of stand-up back in the day.
Not a comedian.
Okay, fine. Oh, I'm already finding you funny.
Dallied with.
The way you ate that mince pie like a berated dog was very funny.
Yeah.
You had your eyes down and you just sort of...
I felt extremely sheepish.
I'm going now. I don't know if you've got anything to say. Now, all I've said is
yeah, I can speak.
Okay, because all I've said is you're Rick Edwards.
You go in. Okay. I will respond to that. Yes, I am Rick Edwards. What you'll find, you've paused it up as well. what you will find is that you think that a bite of a mince pie, you're done and swallowed within sort of a couple of seconds. No. It's about a 15-second process. Surprisingly long.
A bit dry.
A little bit dry.
Maybe that's the veganism in them.
Probably is. But actually, you're water now, is it? Mm-hmm. This is a shambles,
lovely.
Mate.
Lovely. Rick, I've dived into your Amazon account. I'm absolutely loving it. We're going right back to 2006.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I thought I would have been a later adopter.
No, you're there. Only three orders in 2006, though. It's pretty good. Okay. Let's go to October. That was when you made your first order. You bought, I think it's a film, Turtles Can Fly, or is it a book?
Oh, no, it's a film.
It's a movie.
It's a film.
Go on.
I think it's, It's either, and this is the mistake you don't want to make, it's either Iranian or Iraqi.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know. And I think this is probably, so I figure that what we're going to find is a lot of...
the synopsis is in a foreign language.
There you go. That's classy, isn't it? Yeah. A lot of foreign cinema because at the time I was going out with a girl who had quite pretentious cinematic tastes.
Okay.
And I think I was trying to impress her.
Sure.
I suspect that there's going to be quite a lot of this, and I'm not going to remember that many of these films.
So is this what we shall call shelf posing, where you put these in a prominent position and casually walk past them and go, I've always loved Turtles Can Fly.
I love Iranian or Iraqi cinema.
Or Iraqi! It says here on the review, it's the most powerful film to come from. Here we go.
Go on.
The Middle East.
Oh!
Still no
so
clearer.
I'm not wrong,
still
am
no
I?
Clearer.
It's actually, do you know what? I do sort of remember the film, and I think it is good. And I think I don't know what I've got on there, unfortunately. But I think I will have watched all of these films.
Okay.
I don't think they're just shelf posing.
Well, the reviews are very good. So, did you enjoy it? Do you remember it being good?
Sort of vaguely. I mean, the other thing I should say up front is I've got quite a bad memory.
Me too.
So, If you tell me with absolute conviction that it's a terrible film, I'd just be like,
Can I tell you with absolute conviction things that you've bought on here that you haven't bought and then
I think you almost certainly could.
All right, fine. So that's your first purchase. There you are. You bought Turtles Can Fly. I think it's Iraqi.
You?
Yeah. Because it talks about Saddam on here. It talks about Saddam. But then it could be Iranian because he fought them, didn't he, and stuff. Anyway, we'll find out and I won't find out. We'll never know.
No.
It's not great journalism.
I'm glad that we didn't go any further into Saddam's relationship with Iran, by the way.
No, that felt like,
casual throwaway because there was a bit of...
I think there was
a bit of animosity probably. What's that, guys?
I literally said, they fought. And my brain went,
do not go any further.
Step away. All right, good. So we've established I'm shit at history and you're shit at remembering films.
Yes.
That was your first purchase.
Well, not just films. Everything.
Everything, fine.
Shit at remembering everything.
So then I can say, and the next thing you bought was a gun. Oh, my God, no.
From Iraq.
Or Iran. 9th of December, 2006, Rick Edwards, Travel Backgammon. Open brackets, toy. Come on.
That. Well, I'm all over that.
Yeah.
I love the game backgammon. Why have all the lights? That's the backgammon light.
It's when you gesticulated. That was extraordinary.
Looking quite messianic, as
we
said, because I'm so enthusiastic about Macan and the lights have come on in this room.
Volvic waters just turned into Pinot Grigio. What's going on in
here? It also makes me slightly wonder, why were we in the dark before?
Oh,
so many questions.
That's a choice by the guys who run the studio. They want to make it atmospheric.
Oh, Atmos.
We're sort of eating mince pies in a dark room. It is quite weird.
I don't mind it with the light on.
Travel backgammon, Rick.
Yes, travel backgammon. I love backgammon. Mm-hmm. I play backgammon with my best friend, who I watch Magic Mike XXL with, famously.
Uh-huh. Lenny.
Lenny, yes. Mm-hmm. And we left a... Hang on, so this is... What year is this? Sorry.
2006.
Mm-hmm. That might be our first travel backgammon set, in fact. I think that might be one that we subsequently lost because we got too drunk at an event and then left it behind.
Tell me you were playing backgammon at some swanky showbiz la-di-da event.
We were, actually. We were playing at the Audi Polo because the Polo is quite... I don't even know. I can't say that Polo is boring. I just don't know what's going on.
You're too busy playing backgammon. Polo is in posh men on aristocrats posh, on horses.
Aristocrats on horses.
Prince Charles breaking his collarbone.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The royal family are there. Like Harry, at one of these, I've been to it a few times. On one occasion, we got very drunk and played a lot of backgammon. Another occasion, I don't know, it's an acceptable story to tell.
Tell it and then afterwards you can pull it if you want to.
Yeah, well, no, I wouldn't do that. I think it's fine because I didn't do anything wrong. But I went to the toilet and as I was washing my hands, another gentleman was washing his hands and Prince Harry came in. And Prince Harry was friends with the Prince of Arabian playing in the polo.
Yeah.
And he... this was incredibly indiscreet, but I'm just going to go for it.
Go on.
So he comes over and chats to his friend for a bit, and his friend is sort of telling a story or something, and it's quite slow. It's not really going anywhere. And you know when you're just all in the same space, I'm slightly listening in, but yeah. They're aware that I'm listening in.
So you're part of the audience.
I'm part of it, generally.
You were there at the polo game. You're an aristocrat.
Well, right, exactly. Mm-hmm. I'm doing my best.
And, had you put your wanger away by this stage? Had you done your business?
Wanger's away. Fine. Yeah, I'm just hand-washing at this point. Harry is getting quite impatient with his friend's story, and then in the end just goes, no, I'm leaving, and leaves before the end of the story. The friend is very upset. As Harry is walking out of the toilets, the friend is saying, "What are you doing?" And Harry says, "I've got to get out there." And then he does the
He
does the
two fingers with your tongue in between, two fingers to your mouth.
With the tongue in between, at us, cackles, and then wanders off into the night.
And oh my God! Does Megan know this story?
Well, does she listen to the podcast?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to find out. Mm. Good. Well, she's going to be...
She's going to tweet us, at ToasterPod.
She's going to be annoyed,
isn't Megs, she? Let me know if you need any sort of counselling or...
Yeah. I mean, I guess this is very much pre...
It was 2006 or so, isn't it?
Well, no. This is the occasion that we lost that board.
Okay.
That's probably 2010, I reckon.
Okay. Well, so you've got 4 years out of that board.
You can get a bit of time out of the board.
Yeah. So have you thought about writing some sort of book about your travels with your travel backgammon set and seeing these things? Because that's a brilliant...
It's a great idea.
That's our first Prince Harry anecdote on My Mate Bought a Toaster. Rick Edwards, thank you for bringing your A-game.
Yeah, no problem at all. Toasty.
We're going to go to 2007 now. Almost like a bit of context from, I guess, where are you in your life? What's happening in 07? Are you on, was it T4 you did for years? Mm-hmm, is this peak T4 at this point? Again, another large bite of mince pies happened there.
Yeah. I'm really getting through mine.
Yeah, you're doing well.
I've got 25% left.
I've got 0% left, just to be clear.
Oh.
The mince pie wars, I've absolutely won.
Yeah, you have. Thank you. I feel a bit crestfallen. Okay. Still, didn't know it was a competition. I've knocked your clock over. So how do you like that?
How you did that?
I did it with my feet are tangled with the wires. That's what's happened.
Wish we'd filmed this one as well. Mm. All right. So tell us
so,
what you
yeah,
are.
I'm just starting T4 actually. So it's not the it's not peak. It's early T4. So I guess I'm it's pre-jaded.
Right.
That's how I describe it.
How long did you do T4 for? And at what point did you get jaded?
Four or five years. And I think, I mean, in fairness, just towards the end, it was tricky, really, because it was a fun job. But there's only a finite amount of time, I think, that you can just ask inane questions to celebrities.
Yeah.
I felt like I was, sort of reaching the end of my... time and I needed to stop, but equally it was a tricky decision because it was a good job and I could definitely have carried on for a bit longer, but I thought
money's awesome, isn't it? I don't know if you're a fan of money.
I do like money. Do like money, and they were paying me money at the time.
Yeah, it's annoying. And also it's one of those gigs because you've done loads of stuff since then. You've got your own, you've got the quiz, of course, which is that still going on, the quiz that you're on?
The quiz is still going on.
You've got stuff happening, man, but
interminable.
Interminable.
Yeah, it's called impossible, but interminable is a great name for a quiz, isn't it?
Interminable is a much better name. That's the catchphrase. What is this? It's interminable. Let's go to round three.
Well, let's go to round 57, unfortunately.
Right. It's just that thing where no matter what, I guess I've got to a much lesser extent with Torchwood, whatever you go on to do, people will always go, oh, that's the thing you've done, and you just have to go, yep, cool, that's fine, you know, it's
yeah. I think it's there are worse things, like my friends were in the Inbetweeners,
yeah,
and they, and again, if you're a fan of money, great thing to do,
yeah,
particularly those films,
fairly lucrative. Mm-hmm. However, they are haunted on a daily basis. But like, we went and played in one of these celebrity football tournaments.
Oh, yes.
And a huge section of the crowd, every time one of them touched the ball, would just bellow buswanker. And that's quite a thing when you've got, I'm saying, several hundred people screaming buswanker at you.
And that's not going to go anywhere. Those people are going to get older and just louder.
Yeah, and they're still going to enjoy it.
That's fucking shit, isn't it?
Yeah,
that is
funny. But so much money. So, you know, it is a trade-off. Whereas I don't really get that. I just get... to be honest, what I mainly get is people saying, ah, you're the presenter, aren't you? Yes. What have I seen you on? I don't fucking know. But brilliant. I get to list my CV. And you get to say, no.
That's what they do.
No.
Yes.
No. And you're like, well, I don't know. Like, that's...
It's happened to
I've
so
given
many times
you everything.
Because I have a far less bigger profile than you, but at a Bob Dylan gig, someone came up to me afterwards and went, oh, what is it I recognise you from? And I was in a good mood. I'd just seen Bob Dylan. He was alive. And so I was like, oh, I don't know, probably Torchwood. No. Okay, maybe the sketch show. No, okay. And I did the thing where I list stuff also. In the end, it was a fucking advert for Bogroll that they recognised me from, which I didn't need to be reminded of. And it took us about... I'd say a good 5 or 6 minutes when I should have been in that post-Dylan haze going, oh, amazing times.
And that is a bad 5 or 6 minutes.
It's a low 5 or 6 minutes. Especially when you're Googling yourself.
What was your Bog Roll advert?
It was for Triple Velvet. I got sacked by a baby. Do you remember there was a baby in a conference table sitting at the end of the table? Looked a lot like Boris Johnson.
Oh, I do, actually.
Yeah, you're fired and I had to do this look. This look has made me a fortune.
Go on. No, that's good. They are, again... good things to do, adverts, aren't
that
they?
Is my bus wanker, what I just did then.
Yeah. But do people don't do that to you, do they?
Well, they do, but for different reasons. They pull that face at me, but not because of the advert. All right, what else have we got? So that's 2007. Let's bounce on into 2008 now. 9 orders placed in 2008.
I'm starting to up my game.
Yeah.
I'm getting into it.
Exactly. We've got Ottolenghi the Cookbook. Domestic Warrior. Did you ever use it?
No, don't think so.
No one ever does use a cookbook.
No, they're very much... That is purely pop it on the shelf. Yeah. Nice to know it's there.
Shelf posing.
And also, to be honest, nice to browse through. Like, cookbooks are an agreeable thing to read, amazingly.
But how often, think about it, how often do you... And I'm thinking about myself here. I walk past cookbooks in our house every day.
Yeah.
And I could do with 5 minutes just slowly browsing Nigella Lawson's fridge, which you can do, but I never do. I never do.
Well, maybe you will now.
I think I will.
I'll
think of you.
Yeah, it might be quite a revelatory experience.
Why do we find cookbooks so relaxing to look at? Because they are.
I think they are also quite aspirational because they speak to a life that you do not lead, a life where you don't just hammer Deliveroo every evening or put in the sort of ready meals from Marks and Sparks.
Also, inhale food. I don't enjoy food, really.
Ah, you're a fuel guy. And it's lovely, lovely to go out to dinner with. Hence the mince pie, actually.
It went in a syllable. One of your syllables, I did a whole mince pie in.
It was disgusting.
And I'm going to spend the rest of the day
You're a monster.
You're a complete animal. Citizen Kane, you bought that?
Oh, now that's got to be just a sort of, come on, I'm a smart guy. Everyone says this is good. Mm-hmm. I've obviously never watched it all the way through, and I still haven't.
Have you still not?
No.
Have you interacted with anything that you've bought on your Amazon so far?
Well, so far, no. Well, I have seen Turtles Can Fly, but I think... Now I'm really trying to dig deep. I saw that in the cinema and then bought the DVD. And I think I went through a stage of doing that. And I don't quite know what the point of it was.
Again, an element of display. Look what I've done. Look what I've seen.
I suppose so. But I don't think I had them out, which just sort of defeats the purpose.
Do you feel a sense of... Do you have kids?
No.
Do you feel a sense of having to put your DVDs and your books together in a kind of, this will be my legacy? I'm creating essentially a living gravestone here, which is quite a bleak way of summarizing it. Also, I like how you're seriously taking this question whilst eating a mince pie. I think more political debates, PMQs, would be much better if they were eating mince pies while they had
absolutely.
To think.
Just adding a lighter touch. I enjoyed the phrase living gravestone.
Sorry about that.
No, not at all. You missed that thing of going to someone's house and judging them. On the basis of what they have on their shelves.
Totally.
You don't really get to do that anymore.
I don't get to feel better than people, and I resent that because it's the only sort of pleasure I have in my life.
Yeah, I mean, what's the point in going to someone's house if you're not going to feel better than them? You know? Like, will you come over? Have you got your stuff out? No. Well, no then.
I'm coming for dinner, but you need to open all your drawers and cupboards. As long as I love you, I'm thinking of you. When I'm without you, I'm thinking about you. Please don't believe me.
Don't deceive me. By the way, have to part. Hello, Eleanor Morton here from All Rather Mysterious, here to tell you about the Weirdos Pantomime. Every year, alternative comedy collective Weirdos puts on a homemade pantomime to raise money for Great Ormond Street. We've got songs, award-winning comedians, and more cardboard props than you can shake a stick at. This year, join us as we try and save the local pub from closing in time for Christmas. With a cast including Adam Larter, Giles Norris, and Edinburgh Award nominee Lucy Pearman, and me. I play a spoon who is also a sailor, just to give you an idea of how silly it's going to get. So, join the Weirdos on the 9th and 10th of December at the Bloomsbury Theatre in London in aid of Great Ormond Street. Bum, bum. My mate bought a
toaster. I would be so much more enthusiastic about dinner parties if everyone just opened everything and you could have a proper rifle around the place.
That's actually a great idea for a sort of... Well, you can't. No, you can't franchise that. If only you could. No, you can't. You can't. What? But it's a fun idea for people to do at dinner parties, where it's a sort of open house where literally everything is... Nothing's off limits.
Hang on.
Just
it's
go
come,
through.
It's come dine with me, but the person who owns the house isn't there.
Yeah, that's nice. That's actually very nice.
That's a good format, isn't it?
It is a good format.
I've come up with it on my podcast, so go fuck yourself. It's mine.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was... I am here, aren't I? It feels relevant. I once came up with a format that didn't go anywhere, but I think is quite funny, called Thieving Bastard, which I don't think helped. And the idea was I would go to celebrities' houses and I would keep excusing myself, saying I had like a dicky tummy.
Yeah.
And I'd just be stealing stuff from their house. And at the end, you would then sort of auction off the stuff and then give the money to charity.
That's a brilliant idea.
It's a good idea.
That's an amazing idea.
That's a funny idea.
But they have, when you finish, they sort of know you're doing it. When you finish, you say, you've got 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You've got to tell me all the things I've stolen from your house.
Yeah.
And whatever they remember, whatever they see,
you get to keep.
And the rest of it gets auctioned.
Yeah. It's a good idea. Maybe I'll pitch it again.
This feels more like a sort of brainstorming development meeting.
It does. Well, no, it doesn't, because they're miserable and I'm having quite a nice time.
Rick Edwards joins us today on My Mate Bought a Toaster. And next up, April 2008, you've gone for a double bubble of Bret Easton Ellis.
Ah, yeah, no, I do like Bret Easton Ellis. What if I... Hang on. Well, maybe I'll be able to work it out.
Less than
zero.
And
the Informers?
No.
Oh.
Rules of...
Rules of...
Attraction.
Is it called Rules of Attraction?
It is, yeah. He bought that for £5, and Less Than Zero was £5.99.
Very reasonable.
Very reasonable. I think it's a good price for books, to be honest. You consider how much entertainment you get from them.
Mm. Particularly Easton Ellis. Densely entertaining. Yeah. Although...
Hasn't he gone problematic recently?
He has. I think social media has been a real boon to a lot of people.
Yes.
Not to him,
no.
I don't think. He's revealed his terrible personality.
Yeah, he really
in
has.
In quite some detail.
Wasn't it to do with... It was during the Me Too stuff, he just said some really off-colour things.
He is a sort of deliberate provocateur, as you can tell from all of his work.
Yeah.
But you hope that he's doing it with quite a lot of self-knowledge, and it's become increasingly apparent that maybe he isn't, and maybe he does just think some terrible things. He's not satirising. He
writes really well. Like American Psycho was one of my favourite books as a teenager. I loved that book.
It's very long, though, American Psycho. It's at least a third too long. Like, he really hammers the point of now another 3-page description of a suit.
But it was my... Yeah, it's true. But it was my impression as I was reading it. I think loads of it went over my head when I was reading it. When I was like 15 or 16. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Violent and stuff. And same with Clockwork Orange, Anthony Burgess book. I sort of read them thinking like, somehow I'm going to poison my mind with this stuff and I want that. You know what I mean? It was like a sort of drug-taking equivalent, but with books. And actually...
It's naughty, isn't it?
It's naughty, exactly. Thank you. Mm-hmm, yeah, naughty. Mm-hmm. And I think I was just quite bored. If I'm really honest, if I look back, actually... Yeah.
I've never read a Clockwork Orange. Also, never seen it. Mm. So... Stick that up your pipe.
I'll wait for it. 2009. Oh, Clockwork Orange.
Imagine so.
The book and the DVD.
Get it on the shelves.
Yeah, exactly. All right, okay, let's move on then, shall we, to 2009. Lots of books, lots of DVDs, lots of films.
All foreign cinema still, pretty much,
no,
I imagine.
No. You've got The Bake Sale by Cool Kids, Futuristically Speaking, Never Be Afraid by Yo Majesty. I must admit, I'm not familiar with the oeuvre of Yo Majesty.
Sure, they were a sort of... well, I imagine they still are. Don't know. Hip-hop act.
Okay, all right, fine.
Quite good.
Did you have to stay up to date with the Cool Kids tunes when you were doing T4? Did they leave you alone?
Sort of did, almost by osmosis, just sort of surrounded by it and having to see these people a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, in all honesty, I don't like music that much. Truth be told, I'm like fine with it.
Yeah,
but I know so many people who are deeply, deeply passionate about music, and that's not me. So I was kind of slightly faking it, I think.
That's really interesting, though, about not loving music, because people get very, very passionate about it, and you can't criticize bands and stuff. And I must admit, maybe it's an age thing, but I feel more and more I'm just like, it's just a collection of songs, love. Maybe it's because when you get to like 40 plus or whatever, you start to look at bands and go, yeah, it's just, they're just, the Kooks are just the version of that from 10 years earlier. Or what, do you know what I mean? You see the Sausage Factory element to it, and you can start to be a bit cynical. And Jaded, we're coming back to Jaded again, Rick.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Let that be the theme of the podcast, the Jaded Rick Edwards. I don't want that.
Let it be the mince pie eating. That's what I would like most.
Do you think that's true, though? Do you think that's why we don't like bands as much, or maybe? Or is it Spotify or the playlists?
I think that the access to anything is quite an interesting development. There doesn't feel to be anything particularly special about discovering something new.
Yeah.
Because everyone can discover something new thanks to an algorithm every day.
Yeah.
So I wonder if it's I wonder if that's part of it. But genuinely, I think my parents were never that into music.
Yeah.
I think that has a huge influence on you. Like, they weren't sort of putting records on when I was a kid.
Yeah. So hang on, if you're buying books,
we're just sitting in silence.
But if you're buying books, are you what is it then? Books, films? What is the thing where you're like, oh no, I get quite serious.
I think films and books, I suppose.
Okay.
Yeah, fine. Much more.
Good. Mm. So I'm not staring at a vacuum of a man. That's important.
Well, you are, but that's
that's the consequences of the mince pie. Okay, let's rattle on through now to 2009. Rick Edwards, you're still doing your T4 thing at this stage.
Still T4ing at that point. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Lots of bands, Prodigy there. What else have we got here? TV on the Radio.
Oh, yeah,
Lights.
They're
this
good,
is all very
actually.
Cool. Are they, TV on the Radio?
Yeah, very good. Yeah.
What's a favourite track? I'll play a little bit.
Literally couldn't tell you. I'm terrible with
Hang on.
I never remember lyrics, never remember song titles, can't sing anything.
You've got the same brain as me.
It drives me
mad because you get people who have this instant access and I'm sitting there going...
But also, like, after one, like, my wife can do it. Like, after one listen, she'll just have like a rap down. And I'm like, my favourite songs in the world, I still struggle to sing along with.
It's the useless bit. I can't learn lines for auditions. I can't.
That's handy for you, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I can't. I hate it when I'm. If we do a book club podcast on my Magic Radio show, and I read a whole book, and I'll sit there with the author, and I finish the book 3 days earlier, and I'll go, The main character. What the fuck's the main character? Mm. Like, it's just...
And an author's like that. They respond well to that kind of thing, don't they?
It's really important to charm people when you interview them. So some examples of tracks by TV on the Radio.
Go on.
The album Dear Science. Halfway Home, Crying, Dancing
Cheese. Oh, actually, Halfway Home is good.
Well, let's have a quick listen. Here we go. Let's get Halfway Home. That's very nice. That is. It's good, that.
That is
it's
good.
Very cool.
It?
Yeah, very cool. Okay.
Of course, we haven't just listened to it. That's been done in post.
They don't need to know that.
They don't really know.
Oh, lovely. Here we go. Lovely to see this back on My Mate Bought a Toaster. If you're a fan... Oh, this is unbelievable. It's exactly the same one we've had on before. Do you know what? You and Danny Wallace, do you know what you've got in common? The Philips NT9110 nose hair trimmer.
Ah, now that's just a thing that comes on in everyone's lives.
Of course.
And you've got to accept it.
Yeah.
And I've still got... That guy still going strong.
Still, really?
Yeah. And it's increasingly got his work cut out.
I'm having a look now.
Because the nose,
there's nothing there. You have you do have a large nostril. You have a plentiful nostril.
Oh yeah. There's plenty of room for hair. but equally, I'm starting to get a bit of the old Dennis Healy's.
Yeah.
It's all
absolutely
to the extent that I've had to when I go to get a haircut. I now ask them to just have a quick check, and always with a tinge of embarrassment. because it feels...
So there's mission creep with facial hair now.
Yeah, there other is. Bits.
Have
yeah,
you gone... Yeah. How are the ears?
Ears, actually, are smooth.
Oh, good to know.
Lovely, good to smooth know. Ears.
Yeah, okay.
Well, if you, obviously, you've got headphones on, so I can't see.
My ears are pretty bad. My nose is pretty bad. But it's not offensively bad yet, but the eyebrows are... this has all happened in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
The eyebrows have suddenly started... I just get these rogue ones
going
all over the place. And so can I ask a hairdresser to cut an eyebrow? Is that reasonable?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you go, and they just... They use the comb... And the little fine scissors, and they do a nice job on it.
Oh, I must do that
next
time I go there.
Yeah, let me know how you get on.
Yeah, I will. The Philips NT9110.
Beautiful
£10.74.
What a great investment that was.
10 years, that poor sod has been ramming itself up your nose. 10 years, Rick, it's been there.
Do you sometimes find that have you got one?
Yeah, but
the Philips?
Yeah, but do you know what I do? I'm a yanker.
I'm
a yanker. I just get a bunch of them and pull them out.
Oh, my God. Oh, that makes me... That's genuinely turning my stomach. I am absolutely not a yanker.
I will get a whole crop. I quite enjoy it. And you get a really good sneeze off the back of it.
And yeah, then, Christ, because it's sort of like painful and itchy.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Oh. Yeah, then occasionally you might get the odd spot erupting inside your nose.
Oh, my good Lord. Give me another mince pie. Pronto.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can offer you some brandy butter with it if you just give me a second. I'll see what comes out the nose.
So the point is that you're not having, because the fine kind of teeth on the, they do get a bit jammed up with, well, no polite way of saying it, snot.
Crud. You've got to
get rid of that crud somehow.
Well, you've clearly looked after it, because for 10 years, it cost you 10, that's £1 a year.
That's only four, I can't believe, that's one of the great purchases.
There you go. Well, it's good to know. This is why this podcast...
Well done me.
Well, exactly, well done you.
And well done Philips.
Well done Philips, that was the most important thing, yeah. Let's give some credit to Philips. They listen, you never know, might get some freebies. December 2010, skipping ahead to the end of 2010 now, the end of a decade.
Wow, yeah.
Rick Edwards, the cool...
Hang on.
What?
Is that the end of the decade?
Oh, no, hang on. No, God, what am I saying? The end of the decade is 2009, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, actually,
There is an argument, but I...
Because we are technically about to end this decade, but people will say we're not. People will say it doesn't end until...
Those people can... They can go fuck themselves. They can, actually.
I did a tweet about it.
What are you talking about?
I did a tweet about this the other day saying, oh, guys, we've only got 2 months exactly left of the decade. No, it's actually... The decade doesn't end until 2020. Who stands in the middle of 2020 and says we're still in the teens?
A dickhead.
Oh, absolute fucking dickhead who can go fuck himself.
Yeah, all right, I hate that.
I'll dial it back. The end of 2010.
Yes.
You bought the Kenwood kettle, the SJM 400, 1.7 litre brushed metal. Good kettle. How did it still work?
Well, there's been a bit of churn in terms of my household appliances, in that when Ema and I bought a house together, obviously you're trying to coalesce your various share items, and there's duplicates.
Yeah.
And I've got to say...
I know whose stuff gets thrown away.
Yeah, mine was decimated.
Yeah.
I had a really nice, appropriately enough, for the show, very nice toaster.
Lovely.
That didn't come in.
It's extraordinary.
Kettle didn't come in. Really nice, all brushed silver is what I'd gone for. Looked lovely. Worked great.
Gone.
Gone.
R.I.P.
All gone.
It's amazing. I'm just very grateful that this doesn't happen when people do blended families. You know, when you go... Because effectively what you're doing, that you're doing a blended family, but instead of with kids, you're doing it with kit.
Yeah.
And it's a massacre.
Yeah.
It's a massacre. Same thing happened to me. There's one thing left.
What have you got?
Actually, technically, it's three things. It's a set of serrated knives that I bought in IKEA in 2002. Everything else is Beth's stuff. It's no better. Some of it's worse, but it's her stuff, so it stays.
Yeah. It's interesting, that, isn't it?
Mm.
It's a weird... I feel like I maybe should have dug my heels in a bit more. I did. I definitely made noises like, well, it is...
Mm.
It's nice, you know. I even, in fact, sort of brought the discussion back up because we had a bit of work done in our house and had to move out.
Yeah.
When we were moving back in and getting stuff back in,
yeah.
Some of the stuff was still in storage, my old stuff, and I was like, we could, no.
It's not going to happen.
We could bring, no, okay.
Do you think, did you enjoy this kettle?
Yeah, I mean, I love the kettle.
Because it's got quite a lot of bad reviews. 2 stars, no good. 1 star, as bad as the other reviewers said. I bought this kettle as I like the look of it, and I've had Kenwood products before with no problem. Within 6 months, the lid has broken. I do not hold that much hope for a replacement given the other reviews.
Oh.
Not so good kettle, 2 stars.
No, mine was, mine did a job.
Can I write a review on your behalf? Do you mind?
Of course you can.
That'd be really nice, because I think it's really important. So how many stars do you want to give it?
Well, I don't know if I'd give it 5, because that feels excessive. But give it 4.
4 stars. Add a written review. Well, did the job.
Yeah, did the job.
Did the job.
Boiled plenty of water, is now in retirement.
Yeah. It boiled plenty of water.
You it's might want to. You can't italicise, can you?
So no, I'll put it in block caps.
Block caps.
Yeah, I've done it, mate.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate
it. It's now in. It's now in retirement due to a sort of wifely land grab or something. What's the phrase?
Marital weakness on my
due
part.
Due to my yeah, due to
something like that.
That sounds like you've had an affair with a kettle. You know what I mean? So marital.
I feel a bit like that.
Okay. It's now in retirement. Yeah. Due to
due to the force of my wife's personality.
My great wife's personality.
Yes.
And kettle.
Do you know, for a long time, I thought that if I was to go on Dragon's Den, which is actually a pretty big if, the thing I would have pitched was the 80% boil kettle, whereby it just gets the water to exactly the right temperature for drinking your tea or coffee.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So it doesn't go in too high.
Yeah.
That's a really great idea. Well, but tea doesn't brew as well in lukewarm water.
Yes, I think. I don't think 80 degrees is lukewarm.
No, that's
Tom.
True. No, that's is true. It? It's technically hot.
So if I put you in a bath that's 80 degrees, you're not saying, well, I think get a bit more hot in this.
It says, title is Did the Job. It boiled plenty of water. It's now in retirement due to the force of my wife's personality and kettle. R.I.P. Brave bringer of warmth.
Yeah, great.
Yeah,
great
happy stuff. That. Yeah, so if you want to go and look at the Kenwood kettle, you will find Rick Edwards' review of it there.
Very yes.
Nice. And that's, do you know what? That felt like a fitting tribute.
To a fallen comrade.
Two Safecom microfilters for broadband ADSL routers.
Ooh, you fucking better believe it.
Living the absolute dream, mate. Yeah. Trying to filter off like a cigarette filter, but for porn. Yeah,
absolutely no idea how those would work, and I suspect that they are sitting somewhere.
Yeah, it's very sad, very sad. Mm. Probably with the kettle, maybe inside the kettle.
Boiling.
8th of December 2011, talking of boiling, Amman, the rough guide to Amman. Intriguing souks, dough, cruises, mountain villages. Tell me.
Went to Amman, and I've got to say, I've been back to Amman since. Amman is fantastic.
No way!
Amman's one of the greats. Yeah.
So tell me all about why did you go in the first place?
Went because Turtles Can Fly is set there.
For a second I was like, sure, really nice, really fitting.
I think quite keen to go somewhere for a bit of sun, but also a bit of culture.
Mm-hmm. and a bit of sun.
And a lot of the Middle East, I think, what's the word? I feel it's slightly problematic. I don't want to go there. So places, I'm sort of ruling out somewhere like Dubai, not for me really. Mm. And then the more obvious places you're ruling out, places like Yemen. But read about Amman, and turns out Amman is... for that region of the world, remarkably sort of untroubled.
Right.
And also has a really, really nice... hang on, they're not called kings, are they?
What's
he going to be? He's going to have a good...
Hang on, here we go. Leader of Oman. Political leader of Oman.
What's his title?
Sultan.
Sultan.
Hang on, go back.
No, Sultan. They've got a lovely Sultan. And we didn't just look that up. And he's a very, again, it's all relative, very liberal Sultan.
Right.
So their sort of punishment for indiscretions, and these are indiscretions which we would definitely say were not indiscretions, much more lenient.
Right.
And I think there's a bit of blind eye turning. And so it feels quite... just quite cosmopolitan,
yeah.
Bizarrely, for I think that sort of area,
mm-hmm.
And has kept yourself out of trouble, and it's really beautiful and lovely.
Okay, well, you've just given away your secret holiday destination. Everyone's going to be going to the Amman.
We went back last. That's in fairness, different lady. So we didn't go back. I went back.
Did you say that to your current lady?
She knew. I mean, I didn't dwell on that point.
Okay, sure.
We didn't go back to any of the same places, obviously.
Including where I buried the first one.
Precisely. There, because that's, the old living gravestone.
Right, nice.
Go to Amman. That's the take home.
I thee'd it. It's not the Amman, is it? Not or I thee'd the Ukraine the other day. You've got to Ukraine it now, and you've got to Amman it. So that's...
I don't think I would ever the Oman it.
I think
would you the Ukrainian? Because I bloody was.
Hang on.
And I got berated by people for the Ukrainian.
Yeah, no, I would do a bit of the Ukraine. Where else would you the? There's a few knocking around.
The island, the Wales.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
The Yemen.
The Yemen is a good one.
The Yemen.
I think there's some good African ones with a the. Mm-hmm. The Ivory Coast.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah. Thank you. Do get in touch on Twitter at ToasterPod if you can think of any more of these.
Thanks for thinking of a way out of that lovely stuff. All right, we're in 2012 now. Rick Edwards having a lovely time. Oh, you got 2 1-terabyte Lacy hard disks. £333 you spent on storage, mate.
Sweet.
That is lovely stuff. Yeah, lovely.
I will not be apologising for that.
No. You've got to keep your illegally downloaded movies somewhere.
Yes, you have.
Of course.
Yes, you have.
It's amazing how many people take real pleasure out of buying hard drive storage. Yeah. And yet, it ages really badly because within 5 years, you're like, you can get that on a dongle for £6.
Yeah, because that thing is massive. I discovered it recently. No idea what's on it. Slightly apprehensive about investigating.
Is it like Alan Partridge's drawer? Don't go in there. Trust. Password protected.
But also, it looks like sort of pictures of computers in the 1950s, it takes up a room.
It's got fans with it. Yeah, it's nice. It's nice to have a bit of retro kit.
Of course it is.
Talking of retro kit, this is really genuinely exciting me. £20 on the 15th of November 2012 on the Braun voice activated alarm clock. Now, I don't normally show my guests an image, but this is a design classic.
That's why I got it.
My brother had one and I was obsessed with it. It's voice activated.
Yeah, so I had that when I was a kid.
Yes,
loved it. And then for some reason, and when was it? November 2012. Remembered this clock. I was like, I want that clock back in my life. And I just ordered it, and I couldn't believe how cheap it was.
It's wonderful,
but it's a great clock.
And do you still use it?
Yeah. No. No. There's a lie.
Well, you probably got
caught me in a lie.
Alexa or some other lady.
No, don't have any of that. But
how do you wake up in the mornings?
Phone alarm. I know. Okay. But also, just trying to get rid of clutter. Clutter in the house. And that is somewhere in, if I know exactly where it is, but it is not currently being utilised.
That's a shame.
But it's a beautiful clock.
Because it's got the thing where it's got the clock. It is a design classic. And they've even, in the description, they've got a history of Braun. There's a picture of Dieter Rams in 1955 who designed this sort of the clock look, the clock face to it. It's the sort of thing that fans of fonts are going to get very moist about.
Well, I think that the Braun logo is, as I recall, it's a very nice sort of bit of font work, isn't
it? Yeah. Well, also, it's got the A, hasn't it? It's got the A that goes over the other. Yeah, but also, it's got this thing, which Dave Gorman pointed out years ago in one of his shows. You know why the clock hands are at 10:10?
Because it looks most aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, but why do you think it looks the most...
Symmetrical?
No. Shall I tell you why? It's scientifically proven. Clock adverts, you'll see, for an analogue clock like this, because it looks like it's smiling.
Hang on a minute.
That is true.
Is that true?
Yes.
I know that they're always at 10:10.
Always at 10:10 because they look like they're smiling. And
in that case, why could they not be at 2:10?
They could be at. No, you don't mean 2:10. Because then did both the hands would be over there. What you mean is why?
I mean ten to two.
Well, maybe because the eye reads it from left to right, so the longer hand on the right there.
Is it because it looks like a tick?
Looks like a Nike tick. But what's genius about this? And again, this is all something Dave Gorman's pointed out. So it's very much stealing this off him. But if you look at digital clock adverts, they are also at 10:10. So they've taken
that's funny
the rule of 10:10 and used it for digital clocks.
Which looks. Again, like a smile.
All right, okay, listen. Let's now, as we start to run low on time, let's just have a good rattle through, okay? We'll pick up the pace. This is what we did because Amazon really opens, it really spreads its wings now. But you're not a huge purchaser. 2013, you've bought 13 items, obviously a bit OCD about that. 13 items in 13. That's quite...
That's interesting, isn't it? And I've got to say, unintentional, but pleased.
Sure. All right, so December the 20th, you spent £37 on a Catmate C50 5-meal automatic feeder.
Yes, yeah. And that was not great in that my cat, who is extremely greedy, she worked out a way of sort of prizing the thing open.
Did you not have a Jurassic Park clever girl?
There was a bit of clever girl about it, because there's a certain amount of pride. We're good, I thought you were too stupid.
Yeah.
But yeah, she figured that out, so we had to get a new one. So that one was... I actually prefer the look of it, but no good.
And does that mean that you can leave your cat, though? Aren't these things frowned upon, the automatic cat feeders? Or is that okay? Is your cat quite happy to be left to itself?
Cat is absolutely fine. Yeah, I can leave. I can leave her for, well, certainly a couple of days. Otherwise, get the old cat sitter in.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Problem with cat sitters, as we discovered, my mum discovered, is that they have a van with cat sitters, the best cat sitters and dog walkers.
Please burgle us.
Yeah, exactly. www.giveusaburgle.com. And my mum got burglarized, to use the American term, because someone pulled up outside the house, fed the cat, stayed with the cat for the afternoon. Burglar saw it. The van naffed off. Boom!
Yeah, that is a problem. I think mine are arriving on foot and unheralded, which I think is
that's okay.
quite good. I wish, I mean, it will take me too long, but I wish I could find the fur that we... We had one cat sitter who was amazing. Mm. Then we got a new cat sitter, and she sent me the first message she sent me when we were away at the start of a 2-week holiday is literally the worst message that you could possibly be sent by a cat sitter. I mean, it was staggering.
What did it say?
It basically said, I can't find her anywhere. I didn't realise that she could go out. I really hope that she comes back. I feel really anxious about it. I was like,
Where were you?
I was. Do you know what? I might have been in Oman. the Ukraine. I was definitely not in the country. We were away for like 2 weeks. It was the start of a 2-week holiday. The first message you get is, she's vanished. Brilliant.
Also, it's the all-out despair. I'm very worried.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is funny, man.
Also, I think the next message criticised the cat litter. So it's not the right cat litter. I mean, amazing stuff.
Who cares about that, though? The cat's gone. And what was the upshot here?
Well, it was fine. That's the other thing. There's just no need to worry me.
Wow.
She's just gone out for a bit and then come back.
Wow. That's
an extraordinary message to send.
Did you reply? Were you terse in your response, or did you say glad as well?
I just said, I think she'll probably come back, actually, because she normally does.
Astonishing. Talking of animals that won't leave, November 2015, hanging moth killers and lavender fresheners. Oh, yeah, those lavender fresheners to kill moths.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, yeah. This now continues. I think most of my Amazon purchases, every other Amazon purchase will be something related to my ongoing battle with moths.
October 2016, moth killer.
Yeah.
October 2016, more moth killer.
Yeah, really.
October 2016, fabric moth killer. Have you got clothes moths in your house?
Well, no, I suppose that the answer is it's a bit like the old Head & Shoulders advert of you use Head & Shoulders, but you don't have dandruff. Exactly. So I don't have moths because I'm absolutely obsessed with keeping them away from my clothes.
Right, okay.
And I've used all sorts of stuff. The spray, the lavender sachets, which feel friendlier, but I probably, as you point out, not really work. I don't think a moth is that off. But I kind of... I would say I love all animals.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with it. There's no animal that I would happily kill. Like, nothing... Spiders are like, and like, if any of it, I'm a celebrity, is my worst nightmare.
Yeah,
I don't like that.
Yeah,
except moths. I just think, unless it's a big one, a big moth you love.
A big moth is like a sort of emo butterfly,
exactly.
So that's allowable,
but the little fuckers are made out of dust.
Yeah, that's what, when you squash them, it's like when a vampire dies in a film, it goes,
and you think, well, that can't, that. Probably wasn't a living thing anyway, some sort of weird automaton. But yeah, I really dislike moths. I dislike what they do to my belongings, and I won't stop waging war against them.
June 2017.
Moth sachets. I mean, this is like the
hanging
the
moth
only
killers
thing
and
I
lavender
think
freshness.
When I was coming in to do this, was it's just going to be a load of moth stuff, like it really is.
And films and books I've never read or watched. Here's a weird one, Rick. I've got on with you really well, and it's been really nice hanging out with you today. And thank you for doing my Mate Bought a Toaster. And it feels sad.
There's a butt coming.
Yeah, there's a large butt. Quite appropriately, it's a big orange butt. 29th of May 2017, you bought the Donald Trump Make America Great Again baseball hat.
Ah, yes. Now,
you were a fan of Donald Trump?
That was, again, another mention for Tim Key. He loves a cap, and as a, well, not brilliant joke, I bought him that hat.
Right, and gave
it to him.
Proud of yourself, are you, for doing that? Or would you feel shame?
What do I feel about that? I feel I guess I feel slightly sad.
I saw someone wearing one for real, not ironically, on a plane.
And yeah.
I was aghast.
Yeah.
Aghast I was.
Well, one thing is, they are quite, sort of, design-wise, it's quite a pleasing hat.
Yeah, they've become accidentally trendy, haven't they?
Yeah, they're quite nice. But I wouldn't. And to give Tim his credit, he's never worn it.
No, good.
But also, I've bought him quite a lot of hats that he's never worn. That's sort of a thing.
So your thing is that you just buy a terrible birthday present that's never used?
Yeah. People like that, don't they?
June 2018, Lakeland Moth Stop Moth Killer.
I know.
Are they coming back, or are there none there, but you keep buying the stuff?
I think I'm now addicted to getting the stuff to make sure that they will never, ever come back.
But May 2019, Moth Killer.
I know.
It's just
stop going on about it.
You've got a problem.
I've got a moth. I've got a moth problem, or I fear that I may have a moth problem.
You're a moth head. It is absolutely extraordinary. Absolutely extraordinary.
Addicted to moths.
Well, I tell you what's been quite consistent about you, Rick. Sometimes people come on this and you really see them change. You've been the consistent same kind of man for the. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but basically the last 14 years that we've just covered of your life.
Yeah, I am not in any way malleable. Or I haven't evolved. I think it's probably a bad thing.
Some might call this a rut.
Yes.
Some people might say this is a man enthused by great movies and great music and his family and moths.
That's a very, very kind.
Put a happy spin on it at the end. I think in
educational terms, they talk about growth mindset, which is the good one, where you're very open.
Yeah.
And then fixed mindset, which is bad. And I think I know which one I am. And my fixed mindset is mainly moths and what used to be foreign cinema, because I felt like I had to.
As ever with these things, I didn't know you that well when you came in, and now I feel like I've done a full internal examination.
I think I know myself better, and but I don't necessarily feel great about it.
I'd love it if this doing this brought on a full sort of midlife crisis. Have you felt hitting 40? Have you felt any midlife crisis kind of things happening?
Definitely.
Have
so
you?
I've got a really actually. This is such a solid midlife crisis thing.
Oh,
you will love it. So when I was younger, I had my ear pierced in several places.
Mm-hmm.
And I am absolutely thinking I'm going to re-pierce my ear.
Wow. That is extraordinary.
It's so on the nose.
Have you told your partner?
She's sort of... I think her take on it is that's... absolutely ridiculous, but you can do it because you'll just take it out again after a month because you'll be embarrassed.
I'm looking forward to seeing that. I'm going to keep an eye.
I'm going to do it just because, you know, fuck it.
Yeah.
But that's. There's no other explanation for that, really.
No. That's absolutely fine. You know what you could do as well? Get a nice ear pierce thing with a nice ring in it, and then just hang a moth repellent.
Ooh,
from the ear?
A great bio sort of lavender sachet.
Just made by Calibri,
I believe.
Rick. Yeah, he's fine. He stinks of lavender. Really
yeah,
odd,
but
really
never see him and a moth in the same room. So
clothes have got no holes in at all. No holes in this man's clothes. Rick Edwards, that's one thing I can definitely say about you for sure. Thank you so much for joining us. How can we find you? You're on the Twitters and all that business, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, I am. I'm on at Rick Edwards 1.
Are you still doing your podcast, your science podcast?
I am still doing my science podcast.
Give that a plug as well, we love that.
Oh yeah, sure. It's called Science-ish, and it is also on Twitter @science_ish.
Beautiful.
And we've got a new season coming out very soon.
Very exciting. Rick, thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this, which of course you did, then please like and, you know, give us a review and all that stuff, and give us a follow @ToasterPod. See you soon. Bye.
Brilliant. Same always. I still love you, baby. I don't want you for the rest of my day.
GreatBigOwl.com Hello, I'm John Holmes, and yes, the last thing you need is another podcast that takes apart a television show and hacks through it like a cough going through a pensioner. Except wait, because this is the One Show in which myself and my guests force ourselves to watch a week's worth of TV's The One Show and then analyse it all in far too much detail. It sounds like a terrible idea, and it is for us. But for you, it's entertainment gold that's all over a programme you yourself have no intention of ever watching. The One Show, every Tuesday and Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts.